Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? Are you sure? How has been your week? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord will start something new in your life from today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Alright, why the word of God seems and faith seems unproductive? Why the word of God and faith seems unproductive in the life of a man? Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4, and I quickly read from verse 13 to 20. That has been our anchor scripture. We're looking at why the word of God is unproductive. Why is it you quote scriptures, you pray with scriptures, you do so many things, but yet you are not seeing the desired result? And we have been doing an analysis of what could possibly be the problem. Why is it that the word, why is it that faith looks unproductive in the life of a man? And we have been analyzing it, we have been x-raying it, and we have been moving systematically. But let's look at our anchor scripture again, and then we take off from where we stopped last week. It says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? He said, if you don't know this parable, you can't understand every other parable. And we looked at it, so that Jesus Christ spoke about seven parables, and then this was the beginning of those parables. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And verse 18, he says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we began looking at this scripture. Why is it that faith and the word of God seems unproductive in the life of a believer? And we began taking our reference from here. And then we began looking at it one after the other. We started by analyzing that scripture holistically. Then we moved to each of the arts. You remember? We started by talking about the sower, the seed, and the soil. And we discovered that out of these three, only one is a variable. The sower in the scripture was constant. The seed was constant. The same sower, the same seed. We now discover that the only variable there was what? Was the soil. And we discover that the soil is what? The heart of man. And so, if it is the heart of man that is the variable, this is the determining factor for the results that was obtained. Hallelujah. So, we began taking them one after the other. So, we look at the one that was sown on the wayside. What was the wayside? We looked at it. Then, we look at the one that was sown on where? On stony ground. That was where we stopped. So we looked at it. What does it mean to have, talk about stony ground? And we looked at that last week. And today, we are going to be looking at the third variable, or the third type of ground in that scripture. And that is what? The thorny ground. Or the one that was sown among thorns. The one that was sown among thorns. Praise the Lord. Alright, let's look at that. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 in the Amplified. 18 and 19 in the Amplified. Hallelujah. It says, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Verse 19. Then the cares and anxieties of the world, and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. They had the word, but he said there was a challenge. And what was the challenge? It was sown among thorns. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in my study, I discovered that out of the four type of ground, the most dangerous and most subtle among them is this number three. The most subtle among them, the most dangerous among them is this. The one that was sown among thorns. Hallelujah. The wayside, we already know, is wayside. Hallelujah. The one that was sown on the rock, we know it was already a rocky ground. But the one that was sown among thorns is very dangerous. Why is it very dangerous? Let me quickly show you a scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. I read 24 to 26. It says, another parable. After he finished that other parable, he stated another parable immediately afterwards to understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For you to understand that the one that was sown among tongues is a very, very dangerous one. Immediately after he finished this parable, the second parable he started by mentioning something about the tongues again. Now listen carefully. He says, another parable is set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But look at verse 25. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also Daniel, that is wheat, resembling wheat. In the old King James, he said his word, tars. And tars are what? Tars are thorns. Now, he says, among the wheat and went his way. Why? Because he understood what he is doing. Because he understood that when he sowed thorns, the thorns resemble the wheat. And if you are not careful, they keep growing together, but the thorns will eventually choke the seed, the real one. Now look at verse 26. It says, so when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the Daniel, that is the wheat, also they appear, but they look alike. Hallelujah. And that is why this is very, very subtle and very, very dangerous. Hallelujah. So he made mention of a general characteristic, and the general characteristic is what? Thorns. Then he now went down and started, and he now gave us five different types of thorns. Among them, deceitfulness of riches. He began to now mention the thorns. Hallelujah. But before we look at the thorns, what are the characteristics of the thorn? So that you can have an understanding of how it operates, and you will see how dangerous it can be. Hallelujah. So let's quickly look at some characteristics of the thorns. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some facts about the thorns. So when you understand the thorns and the fact about thorns, you will understand why it has been choking you. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, that word choke there is the word suffocate. Is the word what? Suffocate. To remove air until something dies. That's suffocation. That is choke. Number one characteristic of the thorns. There are thousands of thorn species. There are thousands. In fact, there is a particular type of thorn that has 7,500 species. Just one. 7,500 species of thorns. There are thousands of them. Now, that's the first characteristic of thorns that I want you to understand. Why do I make mention of this? Because so many things around us have been put in place by the devil to choke us. Hallelujah. So many things around us have been put in place by the devil to choke us. That is why the Bible talks about the distractions of the age. The distractions of the age. There are so many things that distract a believer from the word. It takes your eyes off the Lord. It chokes the man. It takes the word. There are thousands of them. And that's the first characteristic of the tongues. And there are so many of them.
There are so many things that man is pursuing, but inside it, the devil has integrated tongues. There are thousands of tongues. Everywhere you turn, there is a turn. Everywhere you turn, today, there is a turn. Because the devil is all out to choke the word out of the man. Are you understanding me? So that's the first characteristics of a tongue. So you must know that tongues, there are thousands of them. Several species. Now that is the first thing. Now take note of that. We are coming back to analyze it. So know that about tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number two, characteristic of tongues. Several tongues are beautiful to the eyes. Several tongues are beautiful to the eyes. Bess, can you show me that picture? Several tongues are beautiful to the eyes. Several tongues appear very beautiful. Now, this is one of the things that makes us very dangerous. Praise the Lord. This is one of the things that make tongues very beautiful. Does this look beautiful? Do you like it? But do you know that this is a tongue? This is a tongue. Hallelujah. How many people have seen a rose flower before? Do you know rose flower is a tongue? Has it ever occurred to you that as beautiful as rose is, can you see? As beautiful as rose flower is a thorn. You cannot hold the stem of a rose flower. You cannot. If you try to pluck and cut off a rose flower, you will injure yourself. You start bleeding. And now, this is one of the reasons why thorns are very dangerous. Hallelujah. There are several things that the devil has introduced that looked very, very beautiful, but underneath it, embedded within it, is a thorn. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Should I tell you one of them? Praise God. Should I tell you one of them? Social media. Is it good? Oh, social media looks like this flower, right? Very beautiful. There are so many things you can do on social media, right? But underneath it, is what? Tongues. You are innocently scrolling through Instagram, right? Beautiful. You are looking at things, the advertising stuff, they are doing, and all of a sudden you just see the picture of a naked woman. There are so many things that are beautiful, but the plan of the enemy is to integrate tongues in between them. So the onus is on you to be able to separate the flower from the tongue. Now these are critical things. Praise the Lord. You want to travel and you are planning to travel. Then all of a sudden you are just scrolling through social media. And then the same road that you want to travel or you want to apply, you are about to go on the journey. Then you just see that tanker crushed 700 people to death. You are planning to travel. Then all of a sudden, you start thinking, hey, this road. You understand innocently. You just see a news flash, breaking news. On the same road that you want to travel, kidnappers kidnap 100 people. Then start asking yourself, this journey, should I go? Should I not go? You are prayed. Faith has risen up in your spirit. You are so sure you will go and return. But all of a sudden, something has started choking that word. Telling you now, hey, you may not return. This kind of journey, this kind of trip, there are kidnappers on that road. They look beautiful. They look innocent. But all of a sudden, the tongues are introduced. Number three. And you must know this. Tongues were not part of God's original creation. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. How did the tongues come? How did the tongues come? Can we quickly see Genesis chapter 3 verse 17? Genesis 3 17. Look at it. King James. It says, and Adam, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Now listen to verse 18. It says, stones and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, what is number three? And you should know this. Thorns was not part of God's original design. Thorns came by disobedience. Every time you disobey the word of God, you have integrated thorn into your system. And that thorn will start to choke the word. Yeah, that is dangerous. They were not part. So sometimes when you have instructions, don't break this law. Don't break this instruction. Be careful around this instruction. Obey this instruction. You just yank it off. No. You are activating a thorn. Disobedience causes thorns to flourish. You should know it. Number four. Thorns have sharp pointed points that causes pains. Thorns have very sharp points that causes pains. In the same way, the thorns that the enemy has released into the world are designed to cause pains. They are designed to cause pains. Thorns are designed by the enemy to do what? To cause pains. And that's why you will see terrible news. One of the thorns, we are going to be looking at one of those thorns, maybe next week. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Hallelujah. All in a bid to be rich. Hallelujah. People do all manner of things that has caused pains. That have caused pains. Why? It's a thorn. And the enemy has strategically positioned it to cause injury and to cause pains. So you must know that thorns are designed to do what? To cause pains. Number five. Matthew chapter 13 verse 29. Thorns operate, choking the original plant by depriving them of moisture, light, and nutrients. That's how thorns operate. They operate by choke. How do they choke? They rob the original plant of moisture, light, and nutrients. Now look at this. The Bible says, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Now, this was that scripture we read earlier. The Bible says, the enemy came and sowed tares, sowed thorns among the wheat. So these guys came and they were telling the master, okay, let's uproot the thorns. So when we uproot the thorns, at least the real wheat will continue to grow. The master said, you can't do that. He said, because they have locked their root together with that of the original plant. So in an attempt to uproot the thorns, you will also uproot the original plant. That's how dangerous thorns can be. Hallelujah. So what do? They struggle with the plant. They attack the plant. The light that the plant receives, they take it. The moisture that the plant is supposed to enjoy, they take it. The space that the plant is supposed to occupy, they wrestle with them for it. That is why several things are contending in our lives for the word of God. Several things. They are competing, they are contending with it in our lives. That is why the word of God don't last in the heart of many people. That is why. Because the thorns have strategically positioned themselves to block light, to collect moisture, to wrestle for the space that was originally designed for the plant. Thorns are dangerous. Number next. Thorns are very aggressive in growth and they reproduce very rapidly. They are aggressive in growth and they reproduce very rapidly. Hallelujah. Has it ever occurred to you that anytime you want to create a new habit, it takes you, we have said, How much? How long? 21 days. Hallelujah. You can create a new habit in 21 days. Isn't it? But what of a bad habit? That's a good habit. But if you want to create a bad habit, one day you master it. Why? Because it's a thorn. And thorns multiply aggressively. I was reading about a particular type of thorn. And I come to discover that one plant, just one thorn, hallelujah, can produce about 223,000 seeds. There's no other normal plant that produces like that. No other normal plant. Can you imagine? 223,000 seeds, just one plant. Just one. Why? They are aggressive. The devil is aggressive about his business. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen when people that seriously believe? You know, yesterday I was telling them that the people that worship Osun, that gather, have you seen the way they are aggressive about it? When they want to do some festivals in some places, especially in Africa, some of them, they will tell you that women cannot come out. When you see a masquerade demonstrating outside, what do you see with them? Huh? Cain. Isn't it? They are ready to flog anybody. Why? They are aggressive. They are aggressive. Praise the Lord. But it's only a Christian that you see. Come and pray. Raise your voice and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thorns don't pray like that. They are aggressive. These things are normal. We don't understand the way some of these things operate. Those are the devastations of the thorn. They are aggressive. Number next. Thorns live long. Thorns live long. I told you one that produces about 225,000 seeds. Do you know what happens? That seed, once it drops it on the ground, around it, it can last in that place for between 50 and 80 years. Have you not asked yourself, look, we have a small open land here, right? Do you know the number of times they weed it? Do you know the number of times they spray it? Why? And you discover that, just leave it, allow rain to fall on it, after spraying, after weeding. After some time, what happens? They come up again. Why? Because thorns multiply rapidly. They multiply rapidly. They know what they are doing. The seeds don't die. You wet them, you spray them, no problem. They will just adjust again. Modify themselves and start growing again. That is why it's very difficult to drop a bad habit. Because it is a thorn. It's a thorn. So it multiplies rapidly and it is aggressive. Praise the Lord. So they last long. 80 years, they are still in the ground. Hallelujah. And I always ask you, why is it that when you are just going on the road, you don't just in your compound, you just wake up one morning and discover that everywhere there is tomato. So you just start harvesting tomatoes. Abi, is that the way it works? Every time you just wake up in your compound and you just see that there are corn plantations everywhere, you just start harvesting maize. Is that the way it works? Why? You know why? Because thorns are aggressive. It won't allow the normal. So when you want the normal plants to grow, what do? You weed, you cultivate, then you deliberately plant the seed that you want. That's how dangerous thorns are. That's how dangerous they are. They will grow of their own accord. There is no problem. They will grow. It's the law of entropy. They will naturally spread and grow. You kill them, they rise again. You kill them, they rise again. But here you are as a Christian. Hallelujah. Quote the word of God. You just pray on Sunday. Till next Sunday again. That word that you learned, you don't even open your notes. till the following Sunday. That's, you have to be deliberate about it. Because thorns are there. They will choke it before next Sunday. In fact, some word that you hear, the Bible says the devil cometh immediately. He wants to choke it. He wants to kill it right before your eyes. Some people, the word they had, before they get to the gate of the church, they've already forgotten it. Why? Tongues have choked it. That's why the Bible talks about the chaos of this world. We are going to look at those tongues and how they operate. Praise the Lord. Tongues, number next, they have very deep roots and they are very tolerant and they thrive in adverse conditions. They are very deep roots. Very deep roots. So when you think you have killed them, just wait. It's just a matter of time. They will grow again. They will germinate. Because they take root downwards. But here you have the word of God that you had, you have forgotten. Why? Because tongues have choked it. You didn't allow the word to grow. You didn't wet it. You didn't allow it to penetrate into the heart of your soul. You didn't. So tongues came and then they choked it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another interesting thing about tongues. Many a times, they completely take over a vegetation. They spread so rapidly that they quickly take over. Anywhere you see tongues, what do you normally notice? There are many. Many. They quickly take over the place. Hallelujah. So when you sow among tongues, you must be deliberate about watching them to produce. It's critical. What we are contending with is massive. Number next. Tongues are masters of survival. They are masters of what? Survival. They can easily camouflage themselves. You think they are dead. They will look brown. They tell you that they are dead. When you don't uproot them, before you know what is happening, what happens? The tongues, you just wake up one day and discover they are green again. They are green again. Because they are masters of survival. Number next. Tongues are carriers of toxins and diseases. They are what? Carriers of toxins and diseases. They carry toxins, they carry diseases, they carry pests. That's how they operate. They carry toxins, diseases, and pests. So anywhere you see tongues, it's very easy for them to infect the good plant and kill it. They just release their toxins. They just release the pests and they destroy the original plant. Hallelujah. That is how tongues operate. Now, let's look at some of the implications on the word of God that you have not heard. The word, the seed of the word that is in us. Know that tongues can rapidly grow in the seed of the heart of a man. Tongues can rapidly grow in the seed of the heart of a man. You have heard the word of God about forgiveness. And it is growing in your heart. The next day, somebody hurts you. And then you hold on to unbelief, unforgiveness. You hold on to it. Hallelujah. See, as long as I live, I will not forgive. Hallelujah. What do you think is happening? It's a thorn. And it is growing. And so when you say, as long as I live, you understand? Tongues have long life. Hallelujah. So they began to grow. They began to choke. They began to choke the word about forgiveness from your soul. Very simple. That's how they operate. Tongues can quickly control the environment. What does that mean? It is easier for you to believe negativity than to believe what? The word of God. Very easy. That is why bad news spread faster than good news. because it is a thorn. It is released already. It spreads quickly. Thorns are resilient. What does that mean? They refuse to die. They stand against you. They refuse to give up. Hallelujah. And that's why you are praying for healing. Every time you look at that part of your body, you are still feeling pain there. It's a thorn. It is resilient. So it takes greater resilience to do what? To conquer it. To conquer it. Day and night, the devil goes to and fro. To and fro. He's not sleeping. But here you are. You will only say the word once in a lifetime. That's not how to get rid of thorns. That's not how. You must be deliberate about removing the thorns. Very deliberate. Thorns are carriers of what? Spiritual diseases too. They carry disease. And the plan is to infect your land, the soil of your heart. Once they infect it, it becomes difficult for the seed of the word of God to grow there properly. They infect it, and you must know that. Thorns are symbolic of lack of trust in God. They are symbolic of what? Lack of trust in God. Thorns are also disobedience. Disobedience to the word and the law of God is tantamount to what? To thorns. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you must understand that. Praise the Lord. Alright, so let's look at what are these thorns. We have seen how thorns operate. So what are thorns? Now let's go back to that Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Alright, can I have it in the Amplified? Thank you. It says, then the cares and anxieties of this world, and the distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and craving and passionate desire for other things creeping and choke the word and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now what is this talking about? Here Jesus now began to tell them, let me give you examples of thorns. He told us before that they operate like thorns. So what are these thorns? Now he began to mention them. So let's take note of those thorns and look at them one by one. The first thorn that was mentioned there is what? The cares of this world. The cares of this world. The worryings of this world. And I've discovered that the word worry, or the word cares as used there, the word cares as used there, is from an old English word that means what? To choke. Now the word care, it does this one here, doesn't mean what? Taking care of somebody, being passionate and compassionate. No, this one means what? It means to choke. It means to suffocate. Now that is the meaning of this cares. It says, and the cares of this world, it means to strangle. It means to choke. The cares of this world. Hallelujah. Have you ever watched Nat Geo Wild and see the way a boa constructor or constrictor kills? What's a boa constrictor? A python. Have you ever seen how a python kills his prey before? Hallelujah. How does it kill? Hallelujah. You see, it will coil itself around the prey. And every time the prey tries to breathe, what does it do? It stretches it. Every time the prey tries to breathe, it stretches it. It stretches it till it drains air out of the lungs and collapses the lung. Then once air is no longer supplied, what happens? It kills. It suffocates. Hallelujah. That is what the cares of this world, that is what they do. Hallelujah. What are the cares of this world? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? how am I going to get the next meal? Now, you have just heard the word of God about faith. You have just heard the word of God about faith. And the Holy Spirit is prompting it in your spirit. For example, sow a seed. Then when you look at the body that is with you and the things that needs to be done, the cares of this world, the several things that you need to achieve, what do? You put your body back in your pockets. And the guy, no. What are you doing to yourself? There is a thorn that is about to choke that word out of your life. The devil knows what he's doing. You are worrying about so many things. You are worrying about so many things. You are anxious about so many things. There is fear. There is apprehension. It's a care. They are the cares of this world. And you know the interesting thing? Those cares of this world were there before we came. And they will be there when we leave. Hallelujah. But the devil is smart. He's smart. He will make sure that the only thing you see all around you are the challenges and the problems. Those are the cares of this world. The things that need to be attended to. The things that you need to handle. The things that you need to do all around. They will always be there. On Wednesday, we are studying Mary and Martha. If you remember, Martha was encumbered with so many things. And Jesus Christ told him, Martha, you are encumbered with so many things now. He said, but one thing is needful. What is that one thing that is needful? The word. He said, because when you hold on to the word, all these other cares of this world will be taken care of. But it takes faith to take your eyes off the cares and concentrate. How many times you have a challenge and you just wake up and say, today, I just want to fast and pray about this matter. Hallelujah. But it's very funny, because the same thing you are looking for, you keep pursuing it again. You wake up every day, you pursue it. Why don't you take a break from pursuing those things? Why don't you take a break from those cares and say to them, and say, okay, Lord, concerning this matter, I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to study. What did God say about this matter? But the cares will not allow you. Now, you don't say today on this matter, I want to sit off my phone. In the next 30 minutes or 1 hour, I want to pray now concerning this matter, nothing else. And you switch off and say, Lord, today I decree that in the name of Jesus, no phone calls, no nothing. I want to concentrate. But it's when you switch off the phone that you now remember, and somebody promised that he will call me by 12 p.m. to see if he has been able to raise the money. You quickly on the phone. I can't keep. Let's just put it on vibration. Abi. Hallelujah. The cares of this world. That's a thorn. Number two. Now this is very, very terrible. Very terrible. The Bible calls it what? The distractions of the age. That's a thorn. The distractions of the age. The distractions of the age. What does the distractions of the age mean? It means the pressure to measure up to the world's image of standard and perfection. The pressure to measure up to the world's image of perfection and a standard. The world has created a standard. And everybody is pursuing those standards to live up to those standards. I read an article in the course of the week. Now let me tell you what that article says. It says every year in America, they spend $33.3 billion on cosmetics and beauty products. Am I saying cosmetics is bad? No. Hallelujah. They spend how much? $33.3 billion on cosmetics and beauty products. Why? Because there is a standard. There is a standard. Hallelujah. You know, during the lockdown, everybody needs to do exercise to keep a particular six-pack as a man, right? As a woman, a particular slim figure. There are a lot of distractions in the world. These are the things we run after that distract us and chokes the word. Jesus Christ said, the distractions of the age. There are so many things that can distract you. So many things. You know, one day I wanted to make a post on Lyft on Facebook. So, as I posted it, hallelujah. As I posted it, I just saw a news flash on Facebook. Guess what the news flash is? Hallelujah. They said, no, that was how many days ago? They said, Lionel Messi is no longer, they've released him by Barcelona. You understand? So the person just put there, he's coming to Arsenal. Arsenal is my club now. So I said, let me read the news. So let me read the news. Lionel Messi to Arsenal. Okay. Eh? How? Do you know what? I now looked at it. I spent about 2 minutes to do my post. From that article, I saw another link under it. You understand? That says Osam Hall is desperate to come to Arsenal. So I finished reading that one. I clicked this one again. So I clicked that one. You understand? Inside that one, I saw again Chelsea and Inter Milan have agreed fee for Lukaku. I clicked that one. So I posted for 2 minutes. I read about football for about 25 minutes. I said, something is wrong with you, Olamide. I wanted to pray. Oh, but I said, let me post and then pray. The Bible says, and the distractions of the age. There is a standard that the world says, this standard. You have not arrived if you don't have a particular type of car. So you began to pursue that car. Every day, you are running after it. Every day, you are running after it. Hallelujah. One of my mentors sent an article. I read it. I started laughing. He said to all young men that want to marry, he said, make sure the woman you want to marry before the wedding day, you see her without shoe. He said, because it might not be the correct height. Lest you marry. Lest you thought you marry a 6 feet lady. And on the wedding night, you now discover that she's 3 feet. How? Bantani issue. He said, make sure you see her face without makeup. He said, because she can have tribal mark that has been concealed. Yes, you ask for Rachel and they have given you Leah. What are those things? They are standards. So you pursue those standards. This is it. If I don't have this, I've not measured up. If I don't have that, I've not measured up. If I don't do this, I've not measured up. If I don't build this, I've not measured up. Jesus said they are the distractions of the age. They are there. And he said they are tongues. And those are the things that is not allowing the word of God to be productive in the life of a Christian. Are those things bad? No. But there is a right way to get them. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. And all other things. Give me that scripture. And all other things. Matthew 6:33. Leave it in Amplify. He said, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom. And his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things together will be given you besides. Now give it to me in the message. It says, step your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. Are you understanding me now? Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met when you seek him first. When you pursue him. You know, all these things that men are running after, they are the fringe benefits the fringe benefits of pursuing God. So what did the devil do? The devil made sure that all those things become very, very attractive. The same things the people of the world are running after. You see Christians, they are running after them. They are so eager. They fight for it. You are wondering, how this person is supposed to be a Christian now? But they pursue all those things. Why? The distractions of the age. The distractions of the age. You know, that day I asked myself, I said, okay, if Lukaku goes to Chelsea and Messi goes to Arsenal, what will they give to me? I don't have a stake. I don't. Do you know something very interesting? It's 22 people that play football and they are the ones sharing money. Abi? But you know, the day I went to Arsenal, the day I went to Emirates to go and watch ball, hallelujah, they will announce and they will show it on the screen that we were 38,900 people that came to watch the match. That was February last year. 38,900 people came to watch the match. We came to watch 22 people that are running after the ball. Does it make sense? The ball is the kingdom, and the people that are running after the kingdom are the ones making money. They are the ones. Every other spectator is just there making noise. This is the distraction of the ages. They are not bad in themselves, but they shouldn't be your main thing. Do anything that takes your focus and attention away from God is the distraction of the ages. And you know, one of the distractions of the ages, the greatest of them all, I've told you, is the social media. You are the one on Facebook. You are master of Instagram. Hallelujah. You are the king of LinkedIn. Hallelujah. You are a professor of TikTok. Praise the Lord. And yet, you can barely eat. And you have donated data. You have contributed. The distractions of the age. It takes a lot of discipline for the word of God not to be choked by all these things. All of a sudden, you just see. No, this should be the new car now. Let's pursue it. They are fringe benefits. Are they beautiful? Yes. Do you need to admire them? Fine. But if that is the thing you are living your life to obtain, something is wrong with you. Those are the things that are choking the world. And there are so many out there. The distractions of the age. They are what? They are tongues. And the devil has strategically put them in place. How many social media platforms do we have now? Huh? Several. Hallelujah. And then they just tell you now that are you on Facebook? Yes. Are you on Instagram? Yes. Are you on what's it called now? What's that? I don't know. Yes. Okay, no problem. Are you on which one again? Twitter. Yes. So Nigeria has banned Twitter. No problem. We know how to do what do we call it now? VPN. No problem. Hallelujah. Then they say, No. You're not on TikTok. TikTok. I say, okay. Where do I get? I just go to Play Store. You downloaded it. We say, yeah. I say, they come again tomorrow and say, what of Snapchat? Which one is that one? You don't know Snapchat. Hey. You are a bushman. Say, okay, I know, I agree. How do I install it? They tell you, you install that one. So honestly, the day is so choked up. Honestly, the way pastor used to talk at times, it used to get somebody angry. Because he would be saying, you must pay attention to the word of God. You must pray. You must do these things. You know what? If you are not paying attention to the important thing, you are doing the unimportant ones. Simple. Yeah, it's because he's a pastor, John. That's why he's talking like, it's not. Have you ever sat down to take account of how you spend your regular day? It is said that many people, especially ladies, spend over 6 hours out of 24 on social media. Minimum. Now here you are. You don't have any business online. You are just there to entertain yourself. The distractions of the age. The devil will go, okay, that's what he likes, no problem. Then he will tell you again. You say, he will come, so, you know, as he's going, you just see something. You just see an advert. There's a so-so person, so-so thing. The devil will just whisper to you, follow him. You quickly follow. How many people do you want to follow? Follow. When will people follow you? When you finish following everybody in the world, what will happen? The Bible says, and the distractions of the age. So if you are not doing the important things, there are several unimportant ones that are taking that time. Any Christian that doesn't pray, that doesn't study the word of God because he is busy, he is too busy. Rise on your feet. I want you to talk to God this morning. As we begin to reflect, what are the thorns that are choking the word on your inside? What are the thorns that have made it impossible for you to believe God? What are the thorns that are contending with the word of God in your heart? They don't allow you to stay. They don't allow you to materialize. I want you to begin to pray, the Holy Spirit help me. When you know how to choose the first things first, every other thing becomes infinitesimal. The devil will just know, I can't get him with this. I can't take him away with this. I want you to begin to pray this morning, that Father, I receive grace to always choose the first things first in my life and in my destiny. Don't pursue the things that are fringe benefits. Don't pursue the things that the devil has put there to distract you. Don't. Why not say, Lord, I receive grace to stand my ground. I receive grace to stand my ground against the distractions of the age. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I receive grace this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, this morning we receive grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, grace to stand our ground. But we receive grace. We receive the help of the divine.